It's not much of a secret that I have a home field apparel problem. Even before we started this show, I couldn't even step foot on a new college campus without making sure there was something from that school's home field collection waiting on my porch when I got home. So we are, understandably, over the moon to partner with home field this season to keep Pitt fans comfy, cozy, and stylish at a fraction of the price by using promo code LOYALSUNS for 15% off your next order. This discount applies site-wide and with unique vintage collections for every school from Pitt to Bama, Jackson State to Colgate, Michigan, Marshall, Marquette, and both Miamis. There's something for every fan. So whether you're buying for a Pitt fan or for a loser freak, use promo code LOYALSUNS at homefieldapparel.com to save big on your next order. Each code applies once per email address, so get those work emails and burners ready. That's homefieldapparel.com.
Should have asked Dan to come on the podcast for this.
Banana. Banana. Hello and welcome back to the Loyal Suns Show. That's at the Loyal Suns on all the social medias. Follow us there and follow us wherever you get your podcasts, Pitt sports content you don't want to miss. If you love that spring ball is over and hate losing our best players to the portal, this is the place for you. The Loyal Suns Show, a safe, sunshiny place for your Pitt athletics fix. Brought to you by Section 5. Fellas, we initially were going to hop on today, just maybe have some lighthearted conversation about the spring game, how unwatchable it was, maybe try to pull out some positives, whatever positives we could spin out of that. But a few minutes before we started recording, the news broke that Deion Hayes, the hometown hero, the fifth-year defensive end, the kid from Westinghouse, put his name into the portal, and now every Pitt fan has decided that this is the end of college football as we know it. David, Squid, I would love to ask you guys how you've been since the last time we recorded, but that's not really important right now. Let it rip.
I mean, where do you want us to start? So I have so many thoughts on Deion leaving. And this one is actually particularly close to home because no one has appeared on the Loyal Sun show more than Deion Hayes.
Elijah's Ice has given him a run for his money.
I think we've only had Elijah on like three times. And I think Deion's been on four times. So more than Elijah, more than Noah Hyles, more than Chris Peak.
We'll go into the archives and see what the official number is. But yes, he's a long-standing friend of the show.
So all that to say, you know, there is a little bit of a personal relationship there. And I like Deion. And I typically don't blame players who want to go into the portal, especially when, by all accounts, it's looking like the team that they play for is going to be quite bad. And that's a little teaser for me and Squid's coverage of the spring game towards the back half of this episode.
Make sure you stick around.
Here's another sneak preview. Deion leaving doesn't really change our assessment of the team or what we saw all that much. So be ready for that. But this one does hurt a little bit just because, like, it was surprising. He made the whole big announcement with Alliance 412 that he was coming back a few months ago. He's been very, very active and pro-Pitt on social media. You know, there were all those rumors that Colorado was going to snag him up after last season concluded. But it very much felt like he was provided we'll call it the necessary resources to stay in Pittsburgh. He was all bought in. He was going to be the leader of the team, and he was finally going to have that full breakout season that we all expected. Sammy O was gone. We needed him to step up. And yeah, he just dipped at the first opportunity after spring practice. So
I made a list of good things from the spring game. It was a short list, but there were a couple of things on there. The first thing on it was Deion Hayes. David and I sat there in the sunny Acrisure Stadium, and right away we noticed like Deion looked very good, clearly the best player on the field. Granted, I don't
impacted every play. Him. Yeah, but he impacted every play.
Yeah, he was beating his guy every time, making tackles in the run game. It's like, all right, well, we got Deion. We got a couple guys around. I'm like, yeah, defense will be probably pretty good. And now, it's been a rough off season. I have to imagine Charlie Partridge leaving at a big piece of this. I'm curious to see where he will go. We're recording this like 15 minutes after the news broke. So I'm willing to bet that some other school out there had their spring ball concluded and was like, huh, our D-line ain't looking too great. So let's just kick the tires on this Hayes guy one more time. Like, call him up, say, hey, your team's pretty bad. We'll give you this much money. It's more than they're offering. And maybe that's all it took.
Yeah, there were some rumblings, and this might be a Loyal Sons exclusive, I don't know, but I know we heard some rumblings of Deion potentially hitting the road back right when the season had ended, potentially hopping in the portal, going and getting a payday somewhere else. And it seemed like that Lions 412 did a good job of figuring that out with him, getting whatever deal in place that was needed to keep him here. He made the announcement that he would be staying, but there was at least some not completely made up rumors going around that he was thinking about leaving.
Right.
Maybe for a coach who formerly played in the NFL and has a Netflix show about his college football team. But yeah, I think Deion did want to come back when he initially announced that and was ready to come back and play one more year at Pitt. Everyone's going to say that this is strictly an NIL thing, that Pitt will never be able to contend in the NIL era, that we're just going to have our best players poached every year. But I think, like you said, Squid, I think Charlie Partridge is probably a big part of this. I mean, I know he could have left earlier, like closer to when Coach Partridge announced he was leaving. I guess he could have just not gone through spring ball, but maybe he just was like, hey, I'll give this new D-line coach a shot. And he was like, yeah, you know what? I have one more year in college. I want to make it to the NFL, but I might as well get a payday while I'm here if I can. And if I want to make it to the league, I don't know if this... I imagine any coach that comes in after Coach Partridge is going to feel like a major downgrade. So maybe Deion just felt like, yeah, this guy's not going to get it done. I'm going to go see where else I can make an impact. So
well, here's the other thing. People are glossing over this fact that everyone just jumps to, oh, Pitt can't compete with anybody. Everyone can outbid us. I feel like Pitt is fairly competitive with similar schools when it comes to NIL. Like there's the upper echelon of like, we will pay everybody in our team $1 million tier. Then there's like a tier just below that. Then there's like everybody else that's like competent when it comes to NIL and Pitt's in that. And we were getting good transfers. We were paying enough money to keep some good guys around and getting good guys in the portal. But that's when we were pretty good. When you were coming off of an ACC championship and coming off of a 9-win season, coming off of a Sun Bowl victory, there was some momentum going. Now there isn't. So if you're Pitt and say, yeah, we'll give you, this is a made-up number, $100,000 to come here. It's like, hey, that's great. It's a good amount of money, but you guys went 3-9 last year and do not have a good outlook on this season.
And somehow your roster probably got worse year over year.
Yeah, so if you take that into account, and I'm sure there are a lot of teams out there, pitching up similar dollar amounts, maybe less, maybe more, but dudes don't want to play for teams that suck. Like, one, like Dylan said, you want to get to the league, if you're playing on a team that's losing by 21 every week and you're a defensive end, that's going to suck. They're going to run the ball every play in the second half. Think about it. You're not getting good opportunities. They'll double team you. Nothing. But also, it's like a pride thing. It's like, do I want to play for a team that sucks? Or do I want to go to this, like, sweet school that gets a lot of attention? So you have to win football games for NIL to, like, matter at all. And unless you go, like, full – I'm trying to think of a – who's the worst school that does NIL really well?
Texas A&M.
Like, Colorado. Like, Colorado's like, yeah, we'll just – use a ton of money and turn our team around that sucked.
Deion insists that his players barely make any money, and that's just insane because, like, his son and all of his son's buddies just drive sports cars around Boulder and wear $100,000 wristwatches, but that's neither here nor there. We're just going to put that in the headline on the YouTube and triple our number of views and get chewed out in the comments like we always do when Deion comes up. But no, everything I just said is going to contradict my next point. Everyone is complaining about the NIL aspect about this, but I'm going to again tap the sign that says NIL is less explosive than the average college football fan thinks. The richest teams in the sport have $5 to $10 million a year to play with, which, don't get me wrong, that's a lot of money, but also your average school is looking at probably a yearly budget around $2 to $4 million. And I got these numbers from Richard Johnson, who is a I believe a writer for Sports Illustrated and a contributor for the SEC Network. Dick Johnson, yeah. Your average school isn't dropping someone a really, really significant bag to leave their current school. It is a contributing factor, but this idea that everybody that enters the portal is just getting offered $500,000 or however much people have decided that every quarterback's getting a couple mil and, you know, every star player wants generational wealth to change schools as a junior in college. It's just not real. So right now, I think with Deion, we're going to potentially find out what happened here. Doesn't help that Noah Hyles now covers the Pirates. So that definitely diminishes our ability to get information. But like you're running from the issue here, and it's that things are bleak for this program right now. And that might have contributed a little bit to him hitting the portal.
Spin zone. We kept a few players that we didn't think we'd be able to keep. I mean, all right, I guess I'll knock on wood here because apparently
the portal reopened today, buddy. I wouldn't say shit.
Portal's still open. So yeah, you know what? Just completely ignore what I just said. for the time being. It won't matter until I actually see them trot out onto the field August 31st against Kent State. And even then, it might not matter.
Yeah, I mean, that is my one knock on student athletes, and I'll always defend the student athlete in this equation. But the one knock I will throw is, like, you simply can't believe a word any of these kids say anymore. Like, that is the flip side of it. I don't blame anyone for chasing a bag or a better opportunity to make it to the NFL. But, like, you could be less shameless about the whole thing. And I'm not – this applies to Deion. I'm not taking a shot at Deion. Just in general, you know – there seems to be a lot of unforced, like, I love this place. This place is my home. This is the greatest place on the planet. And then, you know, the next day, your name's in the hat.
Yeah. There's no contracts keeping these guys at their school. There's no rules in place, and we can say it over and over again, but it's been overused, but it's the wild, wild west right now in college athletics. And I think this current setup is not going to last very long. I think there will be changes in place over the next few years. I think more than likely these guys are going to be employees of their schools in the very near future. But for right now, this is what it is. It's unrestricted free agency for every single athlete every single year. And there's no real rules keeping them in place, or there's no market values that we can evaluate and say this guy's worth this. So everyone's going in blind. We have a bunch of collectives that are trying to navigate this lawless land. So have fun, if you want to call it fun, for the next couple of years. But this will come back to earth at some point.
I have an actual question. And if either of you two know this, I think you'd be providing valuable information to a lot of people. In the case of Deion, you know, he had the announcement with Alliance 412. So I think the assumption whenever Alliance 412 breaks news like that, you know, players returning, the implied is that there was a financial agreement in place. So Deion had that announcement go out from Alliance 412 a couple months ago. He is now in the portal. Do we think that he was paid a sum of money by Alliance 412 in that time? And do you think there's anything contractual in place that he has to give that back? Or are collectives just signing checks like sight unseen and it's like an honor system?
So I don't know specifically. I mean, I know we've seen a few cases, right, of athletes taking money and then just hopping back in the portal, whatever it is.
Quinn Ewers,
I think.
Who's that lineman? Iowa for like a week.
Proctor. Yeah. Something yeah, Proctor.
Caden Proctor. Yes. I think the LSU quarterback was a few years back. Was a good example. I think he was one of the first guys to just be like, yeah, actually I'm done playing football and I'm going to keep all this money.
People said that Addison was paid like $100,000 from whoever Pitt's like original big NIL booster was, or whoever the big sponsor was, and then caught a Spirit Airlines flight to Los Angeles.
Well, here's the thing. There are probably deals out there that are just like, we'll give you all of this right now. But if your collective is smart, I feel like collectives nowadays aren't like Joe Schmo. Like there's like a legal team, like lawyers are involved. If you are brain dead, your process would be like, oh, you tweeted that you're on the team. Here's what we told you you're getting. You deserve everything. You deserve your whole team to hit the portal after that hits their account. But there has to be stipulations. I know with some of these bigger deals that you see on social media, like it was the guy who went to Miami, the quarterback, then he ended up going to like Arizona. Oh, five
Rashada.
Star.
Rashada.
Yeah.
Rashada.
Yeah. So
his initial deal came out and it was like, you're getting like $6 million. And you see that tweet, it says, he's getting $6 million to play quarterback for Miami, but it was broken down. Like you get like $1 million after the first year and $1 million after the second year and this after this year and this like incentive if you, I don't know, obviously if you, well, you can't do incentives with NIL, but like if you're on the team at this point, like then it kicks in. So if you're smart, you would say if you are on the team on August 31st, your first chunk will come, or maybe we'll give a little bit up front, but then like the main chunk when the season starts or after the portal closes. Because if not, you deserve it because you're stupid and it's so stupid you deserve to be taken advantage of. Like, why would, if Alliance 412 gave Deion Hayes a couple $100,000 yesterday and said, all right, cool, thanks for returning. And today he's like, well, Texas Tech wants to give me a couple $100,000 more. So I'm going to go there and get a couple more $100,000. And now I'm a millionaire. And I didn't play a snap in 6 months. So if that is possible, players should do that because fuck the boosters. They're idiots.
Yeah. Well, so that story that you referenced with Rashada actually gets funnier. One, it's Florida, which I guess is less funny because it'd be funnier if it happened to Miami. But they offered him that amount of money, and it was over $10 million. And then they came to him like, hey, so we do not have that money. Yeah. And we very likely will never have that money. And also, we're not paying you. So he decommitted. I think you're right about Arizona State. But again, it just goes to show nobody's acting in good faith. Nobody is behaving in a way that is smart or in the best interests of the sport. It's kind of funny if you step back. Like, I know that we're all so bought in on Pitt that this shit hurts. But taking a little bit of a step back, it is undoubtedly very funny to watch.
Yeah, I'm laughing over here.
Is that enough on AL talk?
Dayon's laughing all the way to the bank. Yeah, I don't know if he gets to keep that money. But are we going to do spring game talk here?
Yeah, we have to.
Are there any final thoughts there?
Oh, man.
I will miss our pre-hit record conversations with Dayon, where he would just kind of tell us whatever we asked him. And was an open book. But yeah, wish he had another year in a Panther uniform. But best of luck, Dayon. Hope you didn't take all that money with you. Okay.
So, Dave, we're there. David and I made the trip to Acrisure. Pretty good crowd for a spring game.
Yeah.
It's standards. I was expecting like a dozen people. So that was cool. Then the game started.
Wait, let me give my I just want to toss it out here. I did not attend the spring game. I had a prior commitment with my fiance to had plans on Saturday, and if I would have told her that we actually had to go to the Pitt spring game again after I dragged her to last year's, there would have been some serious issues. Because last year's ended, we sat in the sun, got sunburnt, and it ended, and she looked at me and said, "So that's it? Like, they didn't even play a real game?" And I was like, "No." And she was like, "Well, that was the dumbest thing of all time." And so, yeah, there was no chance I was getting us back down to...
And we were like, yeah, that was pretty dumb, wasn't it?
And honestly, like, might sound like a cop-out for me, but I wasn't too heartbroken that I wasn't able to attend. I had trouble getting through the condensed game on Sunday, like, watching the highlights on YouTube, and it was like a 15-minute video. I had trouble getting through that.
Well, on that topic of it being dumb, it is. And I understand why, because why would you risk, like, hurting somebody or whatever? It's a show. But I was a little upset at the end. There was, like, a minute left. The blue team was down by 7. And I'm like, all right, they're going to put Yarnell out there to try to lead like an 85-yard drive to tie it up or take the lead, but going for 2. And they put in some guy I've never heard of. I think it was David Lynch. And they did not complete a pass. And I'm like, they're not even trying to win. Like, try to...
Like, a little competitive.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, for starters... I can't believe we just let Dylan get away with referring to Trap Brunch as prior commitment. I guess we're just going to gloss over that one, whatever. It was a spring game, man. I had this whole thing kind of soliloquy planned where I was going to try to very much manage where I was going to try to get everyone to manage their expectations going into this year based on what we saw. And then, you know, Dayon kind of ruined all that bit. But I think it's impossible to tell if a team is good from a spring game. And that asterisk needs to be thrown on any conversation about spring games. However, I will go as far as to say, I think you can tell if a team is going to be bad from a spring game.
So, do we start with the bad things and then end with a good thing, maybe, if we think
of one? Just saying that you think Pitt's going to be bad from what you saw in the spring game? Is that what you're getting at there?
I stopped just short of going on the record on April 15th that Pitt is going to be bad this year. But actually, you know what? I'm confident enough in what I saw.
Tell us one of the things you saw today that was not encouraging. What was the first thing comes to mind right now? Tell me something bad that happened on Saturday.
Okay, so let's start with like more explicable and go to like less explicable. It was a sloppy mess. Ton of turnover worthy plays, ton of missed assignments, and a million penalties. And I know you can say, oh, it's a spring game and they're learning and there's a new offense. So it's bound to happen. Every spring game is sloppy. But it's just a reminder that on top of a lot of the issues Pitt is facing, they are taking a wild left turn in terms of offensive philosophy. And there are a lot of really, really good programs out there that would struggle as a result of going from the 2007 Frank Cignetti system to like the shiniest, most radical offense they could find in the FCS.
Okay. Something bad that I saw. Where to start? This was Davis, but I'm going to steal it. The team looked very small. Everyone out there just looked tiny. Like, no one stood out. Like, the one person that stood out a lot, that was Deion Hayes. And everyone else was like, that receiver is number 27. That's not yuck. And a lot of moments like that, it's like, ugh, that just didn't look good.
Ryan Bear is also massive, but next to him and Deion, they looked like a program playing at a lower level than the Power Five. I mean, those Western Carolina guys that transferred in, they're little. Like, you could look at them and say, that guy, he played Division I AA last year.
Another bad thing.
Wait, on that note, So I promise I did watch, I did end up getting through the entire 12 and a half minute highlight video to watch the highlights from the spring game. Do you guys have any flashbacks of a former Pitt running back with Desmond Reed?
How dare you?
He looked and moved exactly like Vinny Davis. I thought I was watching Vinny Davis 2.0.
Didn't we say this when he committed?
Yes, I think we said that when he committed, but actually seeing him in a Pitt uniform, I was like, oh my God.
How many times do we have to say on this show that Vinny Davis would have been a fine, workable running back if he wasn't used in the dumbest way possible?
We've done it before. It's fine. Yeah, okay, but I'm just having flashbacks to like watching him get 17 carries while Izzy sat on the sideline. That's all. Proceed, Squid, with whatever your next point was.
So Nate Yarnell's final stat line looked pretty good, especially for a spring game. But I think for the most part, all of the quarterbacks look just utterly bad. The lines weren't that bad. Like, there were times where guys had time to throw. It wasn't like previous spring games where, like, John Morgan, the one year, he had like a sack every play because he was going up against like a walk-on. That wasn't really happening. There was like some pressure, but I would hope our quarterbacks would like work around it and complete a pass. No, there were a lot of passes that just went straight into the dirt or out of bounds or just not even close to the receiver. Should have been picked off. I don't want to be harsh here, but Eli Holstein, I think he looked like Phil Dracovic with better arm strength.
With a spiral?
Yes, he was just throwing balls really hard 7-8 yards away from the receiver. And it was bad. The times that he would hit the receiver, it was often dropped. So I have my concerns about the passing game on all fronts.
I actually disagree with you in terms of the pass rush, because for me it felt like every play was a jailbreak. But it's in the spring game, they aren't really even supposed to come that close to the quarterback. And it makes it, the fact that you have a patchwork offensive line, but the defensive line can't touch you. does make it harder to analyze a spring game. But I'm with you, Squid. Everyone not named Nate Yarnell, I thought, looked bad throwing the football.
I was surprised that Holstein was the other starter. And then I watched Veyer play, and I think he completed a pass, but yeah, not good.
Holstein had one really nice drive. I have to throw that out there before
we called him out on Twitter. He went like 5 for 5 and threw a touchdown pass.
The second I said he was, yeah,
he was not good.
The second we tweeted that he was going to be a problem for us, he just looked like Peyton Manning on a 2-minute drill. And we were like, okay, maybe one day. Is it my turn for a thing I didn't like?
Yeah.
Actually, is that... You made a list, right? Am I missing... You stole one from me. Do I get to steal one off of your list now?
You can say whatever you want. I don't even remember my list.
I don't know. It's just... There's clearly a lack of stars on this team. I believe in some of the young guys. I really do. Jimmy Scott and Sean Fitzsimmons and every linebacker. I think all those young guys, they will be good. But they, one, looked like underclassmen. They're a little thinner and a little bit, you know, a little bit green. But they're going to be forced to play in situations that I think they'd rather not be put in this season, especially on that defensive line. And actually, at all three levels of the defense, I can't even put qualifiers on that.
Anything you guys liked? Any positives were you able to pull from Saturday?
Let's see. I had Dayon at the top of the list, and next on the list was Gavin Bartholomew's hair. Looks like he got a fresh mullet. He had a nice catch, but I think that's about all that he did.
He had a couple of nice catches.
Yeah.
Dragging some defenders, I saw that.
Was a good catch.
Yeah.
Run after the catch.
He's clearly capital V, capital G, very good.
Kenny Johnson's going to have a lot of stats this year. I think they're going to force feed him the ball a lot because he's just like one of our only playmakers and like a pretty good one, I think. So I expect a lot of Yarnell to Kenny Johnson.
Yarnell, honestly, if Pitt has another season like it had last year, it will not be because of Nate Yarnell. That is at minimum, competent collegiate quarterback. That is an above average college quarterback. It might not be a ton above average, but I'm saying right now we are not going to be losing games because of Nate Yarnell, which is honestly, for that reason alone,
upgrade.
Yes. For that reason alone, I think we improve on last year's win total. Even if I think that we dropped off in every other position group, not saying we did, but maybe, just having Yarnell and not Phil plus, it's an improvement. It's a big step forward. He throws a nice ball.
I like Yarnell.
I'm with you. I'm pretty sold on Yarnell at the end of last year, watching him play. Just a couple of the throws he made. Couple of the plays, just kind of looking comfortable near the end of the year. I'm in on Nate Yarnell, and he's absolutely, especially now that Dayon's gone, probably my number one source of optimism for this upcoming season. Do I think they're going to go and compete for an ACC title? Absolutely not. I'm definitely not talking myself into that in April. But the hope for this season comes from me wanting to watch a Nate Yarnell-led football team throughout a season and see, are there things we can build on? He has a couple years of eligibility at this point. So seeing him go out and just be the guy this year.
Yeah. Do you hope he'll be good enough to play for Texas next year?
Yeah.
Quinn Ewers leaves, Nate Yarnell coming home to a big check. Sorry, we're not going to do that all year. That's annoying.
I think he's going to jump Arch Manning.
Yes. Yeah, I'll say this about Yarnell, and we can try to think of something else good. There was a point in the offseason where people thought that Narduzzi named Yarnell the starter because he could transfer and play immediately wherever he went. And Holstein was coming in, and Veyer already transferred once. And if you transfer again, you got to sit out or deal with a petition. I don't even know. So people were saying he probably said Yarnell is the starter just so he'll stay here and not hit the portal. I don't think that's the case because we saw what happened last year with the quarterback situation and deciding who should start and why did Phil play that long. We were doubting Narduzzi's quarterback judgment. Even Pat Narduzzi knows that Nate Yarnell is by far the best quarterback on the roster. Like, we watched him down the stretch last year and he looked solid, workable, whatever you want to say. But I'm sure after the spring, he was like head and shoulders the best on the roster, whatever that is.
Yeah.
I think Narduzzi likes Yarnell, like as the quarterback. Like, I think he like kind of sang his praises after the Western Michigan game and was like, you know, this dude's like kind of just a football player. Yeah. And
well, he says that about everybody.
Yeah, I know, but
it's the only compliment he knows.
It just kind of seems like the way he's talked about Yarnell. I mean, I know Narduzzi's never going to say the quarterback stinks, but I don't know. I get the sense that he's like very comfortable with just saying like, yeah, Nate's our guy.
Yeah, they always say he's a smart dude, so I'm sure he's grinding tape, staying late, learning the new offense.
Not throwing a ton of turnovers in practice. We know Narduzzi hates those.
Can I throw another positive out?
Would love that.
I think the skill position group is going to be fine. Like, they're going to be all right. I like Mumfield. I love Kenny Johnson. And I've seen enough now from three other young receivers, maybe four. We don't know what Raphael Williams, is that the dude from San Diego State?
Yeah, Raphael Poppy Williams.
Yeah, don't know enough about him, but like one of Day-Day Reynolds, Fowler L., and Lamar Seymour, I think, will be able to step up and be a very, very, very serviceable third receiver. You got Bart, you got Hammond. Yarnell can deal. So I really do think that we have a couple playmakers, or at least guys who will consistently produce, even if they aren't necessarily creating. You know, so maybe not like a ton of crazy highlights, but guys who will move the chains. The line worries me a little bit. Not a ton of depth. A couple guys I really like. Jacoby Bayer, Branson Taylor. Don't know who beyond that, though.
BJ Williams. Saw a good time last year as a true freshman. I think it ultimately hurt. Had some growing pains, but anyone who's getting on the field as an O-lineman, as a true freshman, got to think they're pretty hopeful for their future. So, okay. You brought my spirits up a little bit, David.
I felt better about the defense and the offense, but at this point, I don't know if that's true. I was going to say Deion can carry the defensive line because outside of him, it is just a lot of question marks. So as of right now, I think this is the worst defensive line that we've had under Pat Narduzzi. Maybe dating back to like that Awan Price team.
I think that was true the second that Charlie Partridge left. Regardless of who was in the room, the second Partridge, I think that you could say that was the case.
But I think the linebackers would be pretty good. I think Jordan Baskett have a big year. Brandon George is back. And
Braylon Lovelace was a stud as a freshman.
And we have like four safeties were pretty good, and our cornerbacks are probably fine. So it's like, yeah, it's a good enough defense. This could maybe work.
I think the Loyal Sun should have learned their lesson and not hang their hat on probably fine after what happened last year.
Especially cornerbacks are probably.
Yeah. Squid, what are you doing here, brother?
One thing I know about Pat Narduzzi defense is probably fine. At cornerback is far from fine.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I have another positive.
I think the safeties will probably be fine. The cornerbacks. Okay.
The corners, we have no clue. None of them have ever played.
I don't know who is going to start. I like Tamarian Crumpley's name. And
that's a good name.
Yeah. So no, our cornerbacks will probably suck. And that was our season preview.
Wait, I got one more positive. We talked about how small everyone looked, and yeah. But now that Chuck Partridge is gone, Coach Stack is the number one guy on the staff who I trust implicitly. So I do think that everybody that we saw on Saturday is going to be 20 pounds heavier come the fall. So that is something to look forward to. And, put a little blind faith in.
Coach Stack. So.
All right, last one, David. I don't know why you didn't say it, because this is your boy. Caleb Junko had a great day. He caught every punt, and he punted all of his punts far. And it was very windy, so that was.
Did they all go far?
They're all pretty good.
Several of them, yeah.
Did I miss a shank?
There was a 33 bucker.
I think he had like a 33 bucker.
Was it down inside the 20 at least?
No, I don't think so.
No, okay. No. Well,
but he annihilated one.
Yes. Maybe the ones that with the wind at his back were good.
Oh, Ben Sauls hit a 49 yarder into the open end, and it was a very windy day. And halfway through, like, he crushed this ball, and halfway through, this massive gust of wind just held it up, and it still barely had enough leg. Like, it stopped in midair, basically, and still had enough leg to fall beyond the crossbar, and it was good. So, special teams may be a plus this year?
I should have done the research. I'm pretty sure Matt Canada's first year, the spring game was utterly terrible, and it was like 13 to like 6 or something stupid. So, I'm just going to go ahead and... I'm not going to say that. I'm like, what if... Cade Bell surprises everybody, and we come out firing and hang all these points on West Virginia. I'm not going to say that,
I thought it. About 4.5 months to talk ourselves into beating Kent State. So
we're going to need more time than that.
Is that where we are now?
Okay.
Let's stop.
Let's wrap this up. We're not going to spend too much time on this. Positive, basketball. When did Cam Corhin, first transfer portal addition, obviously retaining Ish and Jalen was huge, but the first addition of the offseason, bringing in Cam Corhin, the 6'10 forward center from Florida State. Funny enough, actually had his best game of his college career thus far against Pitt. Last year, had 25-8 at the Pete. Pittman, just do yourself a favor. Don't take our word for it. All right, averaged 9.4 points, 3.9 rebounds a game last year. Do yourselves a favor and watch his highlights, and then tell yourself every time that he does something that you're like, oh, Fetty could not do that in 100 years. There's plenty of those plays. This dude catches oops cleanly, finishes them, has a little bit of touch, has a little bit of a mid-range game. Like I said, averaged 9.5 points last year, only in 24 minutes a game. I think he's an instant upgrade at the center spot, something that they desperately needed. He's a big body, 6'10", 225. So I think this is a great addition, a great start to the offseason. For Jeff Capel and company, I know they've still got a couple other holes to fill. Probably want to add some shooting if possible. But a great pickup for Jeff Capel and staff. See? you know, you see a defensive end go, you bring in a power forward center. The universe gives and takes.
And it does.
How much money do you think, what level of player do you think we could get with Deion's NIL money if we can get that back?
For basketball? Are you saying we just take the football money for basketball?
Yeah. Like, are we thinking like a 12 points per game, 38% three-point shooter?
I think we could go like a, honestly, a 14 a game from like a mid-major.
Yeah. Yeah, there should, we should start calculating like football money versus basketball money.
I mean, how close, like the NBA, like 10% of Malik Cummings or Malik Thomas.
Yeah, maybe. How many Pitt fans today have decided they'd be okay with just being a basketball only school and going back to the Big East? I've seen it said maybe a dozen times.
I just doing like a pre-show scroll of Twitter after the Deion announcement. I saw it more than a handful of times.
Yeah.
I saw a few people say, just let Florida State and Clemson leave the ACC. Like, who cares? I'm like, well, our basketball team would need a home. So.
College sports are fun.
Let's leave on that one. We just got a center who gave our previous center 25-8 last year. So
we're up. Pitt fans are up.
We're up.
Net positive on the day. Well, thanks for sitting through that with us. We're all going to be okay, I promise. Even if it doesn't feel that way right now. But yeah, I don't know when we're going to get back on record. This might be the most noteworthy thing we have to talk about for a little bit.
We still have to do the Talk About Kenny episode.
Yeah. Yeah, that's in the chamber. We'll discuss it.
Have a good time talking about football whenever NCAA video game comes out.
Oh, yeah.
Our overall rating projections. And I think after today, we're going to have a lot of low 70 overall players.
Nate Yarnell, 89 overall.
Does he have a broken leg?
No, that's just before the first update. After like week two, they'll update the rosters. He'll be
okay. Good.
I will be updating Nate Yarnell to a 95. I don't know what is he coming at, but he will be a 95 overall on my console.
We're about justice here, the Loyal Sons. All right, I think that's good for today. Thanks for tuning in, and as always, hail Loyal Sons of Pittsburgh.
And that's going to do it here for the Loyal Sons Show. The incredibly handsome and talented Dylan, David, and Squid are signing off. Until next time, Panther fans, H2P!